Well, it's chapter 17 of John, and one of the things I find really quite astounding, really, that, I mean, the Bible makes it quite clear it's what the Holy Spirit did, but, you know, all this prayer and all the words of Jesus, the disciples remembered them. It's astounding to write them down for us later on. Because when John wrote this gospel, it was late on, many years after Jesus had spoken the words. And yet, he did promise the Holy Spirit would bring to mind the things that he'd said. Well, you don't find even a more wonderful example of it than this. Because this is this prayer that Jesus makes. And you can divide it into three bits, which is what the NIV does here. Although all the bits are connected in a very real way. Jesus prays for himself, and he prays for his disciples, the ones that are there with him in the room, and then he prays for all believers throughout the world, right up to now. So you're included in Jesus' prayer, isn't that lovely? So, without any more ado, let's start. So, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. So Jesus looked towards heaven. Was he outside or inside?
Could have been anywhere.
He's inside though, he's in the upper room, that's where he is. And why does he look towards heaven? It's an attitude of body, isn't it? To sort of recognise that God is high and exalted. So that sort of reverence, I guess, of approach. So Jesus lifts his eyes up towards heaven and prays. Right? When Jesus prays, things happen, of course. So, first of all, Father, the time has come. What a thing to say. Father, he's talking to God now. He's not talking to the disciples anymore. That's all done with for the moment anyway. So he's talking to Father, right? So Father, what a term of affection Jesus has for his Father. The time has come. And if you've read John's Gospel, as we have, you'll keep reading it earlier on. It wasn't his time. It wasn't his time. It wasn't the right time yet, sort of thing. But now, it's here. The time has come. And the time has come for what? The cross. Yeah. Right. So he prays this. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Now, there's a lovely thing. It's circular. You get the idea? Jesus asks Father to glorify him, that he gives glory back to the Father. Who glorifies Jesus, who gives more glory to the Father. And we're meant to do that as well, you know. As God blesses you, be thankful. That's the thanks you give him back for. You glorify God as we do that. Now, there's something unusual about this prayer that Jesus makes in this chapter. And it's something that's really quite exceptional and only applies to Jesus. You will not find anywhere in this chapter any confession of sin and asking for forgiveness. Because he doesn't need to.
No.
That's one side. And of course, on the basis of that, Jesus comes with tremendous confidence before his Father. And the words that he uses about praying, it's not like we pray. We ask as humble servants, asking for making our requests and our pleas. Jesus is saying, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. Not in an arrogant way, but really saying, Father, this is my will. I want this to be done as you bless me and use it. Yeah. So Jesus is coming with this great confidence. Of course, we can do that once we know we're given grace in Jesus, haven't we? Is it in Hebrews? Come before the throne of grace. Boldly, with confidence. Yeah. Anyway, Jesus is doing that here. Right, so, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you've given him. Now, there's a lot going on in this, but he says, you granted him authority. God the Father gave Jesus authority over what? Over whom?
Over the ones he had.
This is all people. The whole world Jesus has authority over. Those that believe him and those that don't. Right? It says in Proverbs, I believe it is, that kings are in the hand of the Lord. He can turn them wherever he wants. You know, rulers of nations, he's in charge. Yeah, just get that. Jesus is in charge. Yeah? He gave him authority over all people. That, and this is the reason that he's in charge, is that he might grant, what is he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now then, here's this. It keeps cropping up in John's Gospel. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the giver of life. Yeah? It's not because you're so clever that you've become a Christian. Yeah? Jesus has worked in your heart. Right? And he's given eternal life to those that the Father has given Jesus. Who are the ones the Father has given to Jesus? We call them, we use the word elect. The chosen. Yeah? Father gave, now, if you're a believer in Jesus, Father gave you to Jesus before you were born. It's amazing, eh? So, now, this is eternal life. Your definition of eternal life, well, one of them is this. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's a definition of what it means to be able to say that you've got eternal life. That you know the only true God. And to know God isn't a matter about being acquainted with him. Of course, we read in James, isn't it? Satan believes in God. He has no problem believing in God. Well, he does have a problem believing in God. He'd rather he wasn't there. But Satan believes in God, but he doesn't believe the way we believe. To believe, to acknowledge is one thing, but to believe and trust is quite something else. And that's what it means. It's that relationship with God. That we believe in the only true God. And that's a typical Jewish phrase that Jesus is saying there. There is only one true God. All the rest are rubbish. Yeah? People invent gods right, left and center, but there is only one true God. Yeah? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Yeah? The only true God. So we know him and Jesus Messiah. The word Christ means Messiah, of course. Yeah? Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, it's to know God, and it's to have a relationship through Jesus with God. So we believe in the Lord Jesus, whom the Father sent. Yeah?
Just hit me more than usual that the way Jesus is talking to God the Father, that he's telling him what's what. Is it
that's right, yes.
You know, because you were...
And the reason he can do
that... I know he's sort of wanting ears to hear.
He wants ears to hear, yeah, but the other thing is, he can do that because they're in such a one relationship.
Yeah.
That you know what one thinks, the other thinks. That's the way it works. So, and then this: I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Look at that! Isn't that astounding? This is Jesus after all his life here on earth, and all the years of his ministry, and all the hassle and opposition that he faced, and the temptations and trials that Jesus went through. He says, "I've completed on earth the work." It's brought glory to God. How about that? That is super accomplishment. Jesus is the champion. Isn't that great? You know, like you're saying, it's good to see people in athletics, isn't it, when they're giving of their best and they do so well. But this is the champion of all champions. He's run the race and completed everything that the Father gave him. And I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, interestingly, Jesus says, I've completed it.
Yeah.
And he's still got 24 hours to go.
Yeah.
Why did he say that?
He's
resolved to do it, and it's as good as done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what we call this prophetic perfect. You know, he's talking about the future as if it's already happened, because it will, because he's going to do it.
Yeah.
So, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We have together.
Back together. Mm-hmm. Yes. Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much Jesus, as a man, was aware of the glory that he'd come from. I suppose as he grew up from childhood or whatever, became more and more aware of his the origin, in that sense. Yeah? And the glory he had with the Father.
He had experience of the transfiguration.
Yes, yes, that's true. He had experience of the transfiguration. He got another taste of what the glory was that he left. Yeah. So
actually, if you didn't know some of the love that is between them, because we're believers, you would think that was really peculiar, wouldn't it? That they were talking about glorifying. You know, I've done my bit.
Yeah.
You do your bit.
Yeah.
But the love, because we can understand, it's like loving each other.
That's
very
right. I've done my bit, you've done your bit, but the whole thing that ties it all in,
together,
it's all together for
you
and me.
Yeah.
That's the amazing thing, isn't it? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's Jesus' prayer to Father for himself. Father, I've done the work. I ask that you'll now bring me into glory. Right. That I may glorify you some more. Right. So, verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Right. So, Jesus has revealed the Father. How has Jesus revealed the Father to his disciples? Because he reflects the Father, his teaching and his miracles. His supernatural power, his supernatural works, and the teaching that is supernatural in itself, that is a revelation of Father. Jesus is, if you want to see God, look to Jesus. You'll find out what he's like then. Yeah?
If you know me, you know the Father.
Yes. Right. So, I've revealed you to those you gave me out of the world. Again, it's that given. You've been given by Father to Jesus. It's quite something, yes? Out of the world. Well, you were in the world to start with, weren't you? But he's given you out of the world because ultimately that's not your place. You don't belong to the world. He's given you out of the world. Yeah? They were yours, yes? And you gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word. So they were. Now this is astounding. I find that quite amazing. I was the Lord's before I knew the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah? In plan, in purpose.
Yeah.
Yes? And that's true for all of us, yeah?
Like
yeah?
You were before.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, we're Father's property, yeah. And we're Jesus' property. Yeah, because yeah, they're one, yeah? And he says, you gave them to me. And Jesus gave you, oh no, Father gave you to Jesus in order that Jesus would save you. Mm-hmm. That's why he's done that, yeah? Right. And they have obeyed your word. Right. The instructions that Father gave was what Jesus spoke, and they've obeyed it. What does he mean by obeyed? They believed it to start with.
Yeah.
Yes, they believed what he said, and they've done what he said, mm-hmm. to some degree or other. But he's talking about how they are complete in him, of course. Yeah. Right. So would you claim to be a perfect obedient servant? I don't think so.
No.
But in Jesus, with the Spirit's help, we're getting close.
Yeah.
But we're never going to measure up to what Jesus is.
No.
It's always his righteousness that's the final measure of it. Yeah. Yeah. He gives us his righteousness. Yeah.
Now, to obey it by putting
the trust in him. To obey by trusting, yes, that. Mm-hmm. Yes. To obey isn't just to do it as a slave.
No.
It's to do it because you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Now, they know that everything you've given me comes from you. So they're beginning to realize, he's praying, they're beginning to realize, Father, that all I have is really what's come from you in the first place.
Yeah.
They recognize the divine in Jesus. That's important. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Of course they did. Because they're right. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody accepts them, but mm-hmm. these did. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. So these are about these disciples.
Yeah.
And again, Jesus is talking about them as if they've really got it all together, haven't they?
Yeah.
And we know that in the next 12 hours or so, they're all going to run and deny and everything else. Because
yeah.
Jesus is viewing them as perfect in himself, ultimately. Mm-hmm. As they will be.
Yeah.
Yeah? But he's saying this about them as it is now. Yeah. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Amen.
I'm praying for them, not for the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jesus has a special place in his prayers for believers. That's what it's about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does he mean to say, he says, I'm not praying for the world. He's not praying for the world at that point. Does he pray for people who aren't believers?
Yeah.
Yes. Because
he wants them to come to him. Yes. That's right. So Jesus is at work for unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
And does he hear the prayers of unbelievers?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he must do.
Yeah,
I'll tell you one prayer that he does here. Please, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
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 So, yes, but Jesus is focusing on his children, his disciples, the people who are believers. Yeah. So, he says, I'm praying for them, not for the world that's hostile, the world that doesn't want to know. I'm not praying about that.
Did you miss that prayer with Evangelist?
Sorry?
Did you miss that prayer for this summer? Have I missed them?
They knew that with certainty I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I think I said that.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. It was a momentary blip.
I wish I had the right notes.
Right, okay. They believe that it's Jesus has got the divine mission.
That's oh, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, I pray for them. Sorry, love, yeah. Right, now verse 10. All I have is yours. Well, anybody could say that. It's true, though, isn't it? Yeah? Do you mean it, though? All I have is yours. Right? And then the Lord says, well, can I have? And you say, whoa, I'm not sure about that, Lord. All I have is yours.
Like when you get married.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, well, Jesus is in that relationship with Father. Mm-hmm. All I have is yours. It's mm-hmm. always been yours, Father. Mm-hmm. Whatever I have is yours. Yeah? Mm-hmm. All I have is yours. Yes, well, we should be able to say that to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah? But none of us can say the next bit. And all you have is mine. Now, in a unique sense, only Jesus can say that. Because he, being God, can claim to have all the things that God has.
Yes.
Right? Though for us, in Jesus, we can say we have what God has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? It says in Peter, doesn't it? We participate in the divine nature. That's not, we don't become gods, but we enter into the enabling and the blessing and the power that God has for his children, which is God's power.
Yes.
So, but Jesus is unique in this one. All I have is yours and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How does Jesus get glorified through this ragtag and bobtail bunch of disciples?
How they're preaching to others.
They will in the end, yes. Right? And?
Because he loves everybody.
Well, yes, but he says glory comes to God, to Jesus, through these disciples.
As
they're sanctified. As people begin to see these disciples, they start seeing Jesus there. And Jesus gets the glory. I love it where, you know, it's later on in Acts where Peter and John are brought before the top court of law, the Sanhedrin. And they're questioned and grilled about why they've done this miracle for this poor guy that was lame and so on. And Peter answers them back because they told him not to talk about Jesus anymore. He says, we've got to. God told us. Who do we obey? You or God? And they chuck him out for a while and they confer. And it says, they took note that they'd been with Jesus. Right? Something you rubbed off. In fact, I've said this as well before. They missed out one of the things. It wasn't that they had been with Jesus. What made the difference was Jesus was still with them by the Holy Spirit now. Yeah. But they didn't know that. Yeah. But they'd seen something rubbed off with their being with Jesus. That's how we bring glory to him. People begin to see God in us and give glory to God because it's at work. God's at work, yeah?
But on the cosmic level, Jesus is the Redeemer.
Yeah.
And by bringing us into his kingdom,
yes,
he is put right for
sacrifice
spoiled.
Yeah.
But it's even higher than that, isn't it?
Yes.
The fact that it's the strength of Satan's flag.
Yes.
And so
we glorify God just by being saved,
yeah.
Because people will be able to say, wow, didn't God do something to save that one?
Yeah.
Yeah? We bring glory to God,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's not us, it's him that's done it. Yeah? So you're a trophy, did you know that?
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about being a trophy is that normal trophies are kept in glass cases on the shelf, you know. You're meant to be moving around.
Yeah.
Showing the glory.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So glory's come to him through them. I will remain in the world no longer. Well, that's true. Jesus is about to leave planet Earth. Yeah. Physically. Right. He will be in the world, but he won't be in the world as it was before. Yeah. I will be in the world no longer. But they are still in the world. Right. And I think the use of the world there isn't the world that means hostile. I think it means the world physical. Yeah, he's not going to be with them physically in that sense yet. Right. But they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Right, so Jesus is coming home. Lovely, eh? Right. So, they're going to be on their own, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus prays for them, right? Holy Father. Right, lovely. He's saying, you know, because you're a Holy Father, yeah, protect them by the power of your name. God is a righteous, holy God. Protect them by the power of your name.
Mm-hmm. It's
the name you gave me.
Yeah.
Right. It's
yeah.
The name of God, the Redeemer, the Savior, yeah. The Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's, and when the Bible, this is another one.
Sorry, just
that's just saying, isn't it, that it says that he's the same person.
Well, he's a different person, but he's the same character.
Your name,
same name, yes, name. Yes, the same name, yeah. The name of the Redeemer, the Saviour, yes. The one that loves us, yeah. Yes. Yeah. When the Bible uses the word name, it doesn't mean the label.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have a name, that's a label, but when he says, blessed be his name, he doesn't mean, just because we know what his name is, that's great. Mm-hmm. To use the word name in the Bible means the name represents who he is. It's his qualities, his character, his what he's done and all of that. Yeah. The name is you, not just a label. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the name you gave me, that he's the representing God, yeah? So that they may be one as we are one. So that's what he's praying for these disciples. Mm-hmm. Praying for protection and praying that they be united in their love and service for Jesus, yeah? Mm-hmm. And that's his prayer for them. So that they may be one as we are one. There's a unity in the Godhead, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And that's to be reflected in our relationships. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that we're to be one with him and with each other. Yeah. To some degree. Right. Some people are more easy to be one with than others, though, it would seem. There we are. But we're to work at it, aren't we?
Yeah.
There is that. And it's lovely, isn't it? You know, when you meet someone who's a believer and they're going on with the Lord, you know, that thing clicks, doesn't it? Do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that they may be one as we are one. Yeah. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. So, while Jesus was with the disciples, he was the one that took the flak.
Yeah.
And he protected them. He stood in front of all the stuff that was coming. Right. But now it's not going to be like that. Yeah. None has... Oh, we're not quite there, you're there. None has been lost. Not one. Except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Who was that?
Judas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was the one doomed to destruction. Mm-hmm. That was where he was going. Mm-hmm. Right? Right from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So who's to blame? It's God's fault that he was doomed to destruction, is it?
No.
No. Judas never did anything that Judas didn't want to do. Mm. Yeah. He rebelled, he resisted, he refused. All the blessings, yeah. And it was all part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's in an amazing way, yeah. So God overrules, but he's not to blame for the wickedness that people commit.
Yeah.
Just as he knew us before he was born, he knew Judas before
he was born. And Judas had the same chances as the rest of us. Mm-hmm. It's just he refused. Be like Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh just hardened his heart and hardened his heart. Mm-hmm. As a result, he couldn't accept any of the mercy after a while. Yeah. That's what Judas had done, yeah? So the one doomed to destruction. So the scripture would be fulfilled. It's in the writings. It's in the plan, yeah? Right. I'm coming to you now, verse 13. I'm coming to you now. Well, he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that, I mentioned that this morning, for the joy set before him. You know, he's coming, he's going through a pretty dark tunnel.
Yeah.
But he's coming, he knows he's coming through, yeah? Yeah. I'm coming to you now. But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Mm-hmm. So it's for their ears. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's saying this stuff. But it's so that they will be blessed, that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. How full, how big is the joy of God? He's telling them so that they'll have joy. Mm-hmm. One of the things they need to know, as we've said, is that troubles are coming. And therefore Jesus is holding them up while the trials are coming.
Yeah.
It wasn't a surprise, it wasn't an accident, it wasn't a mistake.
Yeah.
Jesus says, this is what I'm going through, this is in the plan. Right, so that they're not thrown by the problems they hit. Yeah, but ultimately they're going to have joy, and it's the full joy of Jesus in them. I've given them your word. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
I hope you appreciate that. I mean, he's talking to the disciples but what they wrote is what we've been given as well.
Yeah.
I've given them your word. We've got God's word. Mm-hmm. That's astounding, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, all the literature that's around and all the other religious stuff and everything else, it's all nonsense, ultimately. Yeah? But, he says, I've given them your word. We've got the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah? I've given them your word, and the world has hated them.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Yeah. Because of you.
Well, they are not of the world any more than I am of the world.
Mm.
Do you know why the world hates believers? Because we're foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People don't like what they don't don't know, basically, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're aliens.
Yeah.
Aliens in a world that doesn't know God, mm-hmm. doesn't want to know God, and so the world hates us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't show all the time, but yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I mentioned this many years ago as well. There's a chap I used to work with in Cambridge at Spillers, a really nice guy, in many ways, a really affable fella. But you mentioned anything about Christianity, and it was just like, you lit the fuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's something triggered in there.
Yeah.
That hostility. Mm. Yeah, well, that's showing as it the raw as it really is. Yeah? The world's like that.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Okay. But actually, just as an illustration, there's things going on in Tel Aviv at the moment.
Yeah.
The locals who are very liberal and couldn't care less about God whatsoever, right? They're getting really miffed that the local synagogue plays a little bit of music when Sabbath starts. And they're complaining right, left and centre to the authorities to get them stopped. Yeah? Why? Because they are a rebuke to the local, to the liberal lot, mm-hmm. because they're saying, God's included in this, you know. You ought to be taking notice.
Yeah.
Yeah? Anyway, there you are. The world hates people who give a sign that God's involved, you know. Mm-hmm. Right. They're not of the world any more than I am of the world. Well, that's true. Jesus never was and never will be. My prayer, now this is a tough one for you, brothers and sisters. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Wouldn't it be nice if you became a Christian and whoosh, straight into heaven, get your heart going, sing the praises forevermore.
Yeah.
Would it be wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, because Father's got plans for you.
Yeah,
I know you might not like the way it works out, but this is, it's good. You'll look back at the end and say, you were right, Lord. Yeah, you were right. Yeah. But he said, I pray you won't take them out of the world, but that you'll protect them from the evil one. So Jesus' prayer is, you've got a mission. He wants you to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're not here to escape this world, but we're here to have God's protection. I pray you protect them from the evil one. Yes? That's, and it means the devil. The devil's at work, trying to spoil Christians and their testimony and everything else. And how does God protect us from the devil?
Well, he gives us his word primarily.
It's one of the things. We've got weapons to fight with. We've got the armour to defend ourselves with. Right? And then, God in his providence at times, he can put the brakes on what the devil's trying to do.
Yeah.
He can frustrate his plans. He can use the stuff that the devil's intending, like Joseph, remember? You meant it for harm! And we know who meant it for harm. It wasn't just the brothers. It was the devil. Yeah. You meant it for harm, but God made it work for good.
We need fellowship as
well. Yeah. So, that's how God protects us. Yes, he gives us fellowship, support one another, protect one another. And the Holy Spirit at work, yes. Yeah. Yes.
I often wondered about the disciples, how they met their death and why, you know, why they were like that.
Most of them died violent death.
Yes. And I think, well, surely they could have been protected more. I mean,
It was designed again. And one of the interesting things is that one of the early church fathers, a guy called Tertullian, he said this because he was around at the time of some of the most fierce persecutions.
Yeah.
He said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church."
Right.
Basically, what happened was, whenever you killed one Christian, another three popped up.
Yeah.
Yeah? The testimony of how these followers of Jesus died.
Yeah.
And in a way, what they went through is a proof that what they believed was true.
Yeah.
They weren't dying just as for a dream or some imagination. This was real stuff. They really believed Jesus was alive, he'd risen from the dead, and therefore they were prepared to go through anything.
Yeah.
Yes, because they believed it.
Disbelief.
That's true, yes, from themselves in a sense, and their sin, yes.
It's amazing, you don't hear of any giving up their belief.
No.
Under torture.
No.
That's right.
There's a lovely testimony by Polycarp. He was a disciple of John. Polycarp was a disciple of John, and he was an old man by the time that the persecutions began again. There were a series of persecutions.
Yeah.
and Polycarp was brought into the arena with all this mad lot braying at him, and the Roman chap said, now Polycarp, all you've got to do is say, away with the atheists, mm-hmm. because Christians were considered atheists, yeah. because we didn't believe in the gods.
Yeah.
Yeah? Away with the atheists. And Polycarp looks at the crowd and he said, away with the atheists. And the man says, I didn't mean that, did you know that? And he said, well, if you only deny him, he says, you can walk out free. Mm-hmm. He says, my master has been faithful to me all these years. I shall not deny him now.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave his life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I tell you, I should imagine after those atheists, there were a few more popped up afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. These guys really believe there's something worth dying for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's perhaps why mm-hmm. these were allowed. John apparently was the only one who didn't die a martyr's death. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
But we shall we won't suffer like that. But
no doubt.
We don't know.
We shoot up the heaven.
Well, when we, yes, if Jesus comes back, we're straight up there, yes. But for some of our brothers and sisters today,
yeah.
they are facing real persecution, you know.
And so, Christians believe that was coming to this country.
Yes. I wouldn't be surprised.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Well, we don't know, Rob.
Yeah,
we don't know. Yeah. But let's put it this way, whatever happens, we know who's in charge, ultimately.
That will test our faith, won't it?
Well, there were quite a lot of women saw their children killed,
yes.
and then they were killed, weren't they?
Yeah. Recently, yeah. Oh, the devil's really nasty at the way he tries to make people break.
Mm.
Yes. Mm. Wicked. Yeah. Was it said about some children that the parents were told, you know, if you don't deny Jesus, we'll kill your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid said,
decided.
"You."
That's
the one, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
And the kid says, "You don't deny Jesus. We're going to see him tonight." Mm. Okay. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Mm-hmm. It's truly the word. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And basically saying is, sanctify them. That the Lord wants to make us holy,
mm-hmm.
yeah, more like Jesus, yeah, the way we think, the way we act, the way we behave,
mm-hmm.
sanctify them by this, the truth that does that,
mm-hmm.
yeah, when we begin to experience the truth and know what it's all about, we start living in a way that pleases God.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Have you found in your own life, you know, when you became a Christian, the things you thought were great are no longer thoughts and great so much, and you know, the things you thought were absolute nonsense are now precious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? That's the truth at work.
Yeah.
Yeah? Try it. Your word is truth. Praise the Lord for that. Isn't that great to know you've got something you can stand on?
Mm.
You know, ideas and stuff float around all these days, but if we've got God's word, we know where we are. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. That's why he didn't pray for you to be taken out. As he came on a mission into the world, he's sending his disciples out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a mission to do as well.
Yeah.
And some of we, yeah, in our own little corner, wherever we are, to shine for Jesus. In the old Sunday school, yeah, you in your small corner and I in mine, we'll shine, yeah? For them I sanctify myself. Right, well, what does Jesus mean by sanctifying? He's as holy as they come. He means by set himself apart for the work. Dedicated himself to the task. Yeah, and that's what he's asking for there. So that they may be truly sanctified, dedicated to the work as well. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what he's asking, yeah. So, he's our example.
Mm-hmm.
We follow Jesus, he gave himself wholly to the work of salvation,
mm-hmm.
and we're called to give ourselves wholly to making his name known. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Alright. Verse 20. We're on to not just the disciples now, it's sort of looking up to heaven and seeing a bigger crowd, yeah? My prayer is not for them alone. Yeah? It's not them alone, means the disciples that are down here at the moment, yeah? Yeah? My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So he's talking about every believer that's ever come since
mm-hmm.
the first disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So that includes you and me. So Jesus praying for you then, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? For all believers who believe in him through their message. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Is that lovely, eh? So, that all of them may be one. Yeah. United to Jesus. That's the oneness where we start from, yeah? All may be one. Mm-hmm. And isn't it? I think it's lovely to think, you know, that people from every nation, background, tribe and language, you know, God's calling out a people to be part of the one family. Mm-hmm. It's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always think of it as the orchestra, you know. That, you know, an orchestra, there's different instruments with different sounds, all the variety there. One conductor, that's the Holy Spirit, yeah. One piece of music, that's Jesus, yeah. And all the praise goes to God, yeah.
We are one body because
we become one bride, yeah.
We are one body because we'll share in one bread.
That's right, yes.
That's what he did it for, wasn't it? To remember him and that.
So, and the truth is, brothers and sisters, when you believe in Jesus, you are one with him. But the unity we have to work out to some degree of how we get along with each other as well. Yeah? But there's a real and organic unity there already. Yeah, we have to maintain it and work at it, basically. Yeah? Right. Now it says, I in them and you in me. How about that? Right, so you get to get God inside you when you've got Jesus inside you. He's in you and the Father's in you. Right. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Mm-hmm. Right, so, that as we work together and we care for one another, the world sees. And you know, that was one of the great comments about the early Christians in the Roman Empire again. You know, they, many of the heathen said, see how these Christians love one another.
You know, I felt that when we went away in the weekend. I felt we went all the way up there, away from here, and all we met was Christians.
You met some Christians?
It was all Christians.
It's lovely, wasn't it?
We were down the same yard, they went to Hans Benson.
Yeah.
And we just met all Christians.
Right.
Don't know them.
No, but you know them in the Lord, in that sense, So, that's lovely, yes. That's what he wants us to recognise, that we love one another, Right. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. Notice how Jesus prays that. Again, and what I'm saying is, he's not praying the way we pray.
No.
You know, Father, I want. And it's not sort of a childish, I want, yeah. He's saying, this is what I'm asking for, Father, this is what I want. Yeah. Because he's speaking with the authority of the Son, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. How about that? To see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Wow. So, what does Jesus want for you?
He wants us to be with him.
He wants us to be with him and to see him. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? Yeah? I want to be with Jesus. I want to see him. And it's that glory again that he talked about before the creation of the world. So there's something that tells us about how God existed before he made everything else. There was that fellowship there already in God. And he made the world in order to share that with you and me.
Is that also a kind of, I want them to, kind of, if he says that, I want them to be where I am, kind of seeing things the way Jesus sees them.
Oh, that's a nice way of turning it. I don't think that's the idea, but it's definitely a good interpretation, isn't it? Jesus wants us to be where he is, and basically the way he is, wherever we are. So that the question some people ask is, what would Jesus do in this situation? You know, and that's a good test as to what we should be doing as well. Righteous Father. Though the world does not know you, he is righteous, and that's probably why the world doesn't know him, doesn't want to know him, The world does not know you, I know you. Wow. And they know that you have sent me. Right, so I think he's talking back to the disciples again now, but we know that as well now, don't we, that Jesus was sent by the Father. I've made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. So, Jesus has revealed the Father to us, and he's continuing to do that. We should be on a voyage of discovery to find more about what God is and what he's like as time goes on. There's more and more to discover of the Lord.
We've done it. But if we started in Genesis a while ago, and God created us to have that relationship
yes.
with Him. This chapter is absolutely wonderful in it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And surely it shows us well, you know, the importance of prayer. It's got to
yes.
exist.
It's that growing relationship with God through mm-hmm. prayer and fellowship and His Word and so on. Yeah.
Because I mean, quite often He went away. I mean, He taught the Lord's Prayer and everything. He went away and prayed, didn't He?
Yes. yes, yes.
Kept that a relationship.
Yeah. One of the things I find a bit, I suppose, disturbing really about so often people say, you know, there's always room for improvement, isn't there? Well, you know, you have this in the,
yeah.
in the world, you know, always room, you can always do better,
mm-hmm.
you know? Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, it's true, but it's not very encouraging, is it, you know? Could do better, sort of thing. And when we talk about getting to know God more, it's not could do better.
No.
It's that God's what we know of God now is great. Yes. Don't forget that. Enjoy that now.
Mm.
But you're going to find out there's even more.
Yes.
Right? So it's not, could do better with God.
No.
It's just, you discover more. That's what it's getting at. Yeah. So, here we are. It says, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known. Right? So, Jesus is revealing Himself and Father more and more. Right? That the love you have for me maybe in them. So just as Father loved Jesus, and
mm-hmm.
it doesn't get any better than that,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that love's going to be in you.
Mm-hmm.
He says that the love you have for me may be in them,
mm-hmm.
and that I myself may be in them.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Yeah. Just think, God's come to live in you. I mean, that's it's staggering, isn't it, really? Right? That doesn't make you a little God, when you realise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
mm-hmm.
But it means you've got resources that the non-Christian just doesn't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the presence, the grace, the love and the power, all of those
mm-hmm.
in you and me. So that's Jesus' prayer, and that's the end of chapter 17. Then we go out into the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, and He never said Amen. You notice that?
Because
it's got to be done. Well, there you are. I've just been silly there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You see, Jesus' prayer, there's a confidence and authority, a wonderful certainty all about it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that He's included me and you in it. That's not too bad, is it, yeah? Great!